before His Spirit. And so all our engagements are deeper than the natural things we see. Praise God. And so this morning, we are going to look at something that will help us. And I'll try as much as possible to be exegetical, explaining scriptures with scriptures, so people can take notes. I attempted it in the first service. It was a bit difficult. We couldn't. I will try again, so we can take notes and apply. Praise God. I want to advance 6 benefits of prayer. We looked at 2 in the first service, and I'm doing this because it's a prayer conference, and the theme is a fresh start. And if there's anywhere to start from, it will be from here. How to make benefit from the place of prayer. Paul speaking in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, from verse 22, he said, "I've continued to this day because I've received help of the Lord." And so everyone standing, everyone making impact, is not doing it just because he's strong. Everyone standing is standing because he's helped of God. And so if we would start, then we have to start from the place of help. And the benefits of prayer I'll be advancing this morning are some of the ways the Holy Ghost helps a man. As believers, it's important for us to know that prayer is a part and parcel of our existence. Jesus teaching in Luke 18 from verse 1, he said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." So if you are a man, one of the ways they recognize you in the spirit as a man is by prayers. Because he said the prayers of the saints are sent to heaven as orders, and they are stored up in golden vials. And so if you are not praying, you may have 2 eyes, a very good pointed nose, 2 ears. In the spirit, they don't call you a man because you have biological features. If you are a man, they say you ought to pray. So if you are not praying, maybe you are something else. It's that men ought always to pray. Always to pray and not to faint. Number 2, if you are not praying, you will faint. So the opposite of fainting is prayer. If you don't pray, you faint. If you pray, you don't faint. So everybody making impact, gaining strength on earth is doing it because it's interfacing the spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." And I said earlier, if the Bible or the Lord is asking us to pray without ceasing, it means prayer has a significance beyond asking God for things that He does for you. Because if you are praying without ceasing, it means what you are trying to achieve is beyond answers to prayers. Because even when the answer comes, you are still praying. So there are things deeper in God that necessitate prayer beyond our daily needs. And so when we are talking about help from the realm of God, we are looking at things that are immortal. Because the time comes when every one of us will leave this framework of the human vessel and transit to a realm that is not regulated by time. And the transactions that will take place in that realm, they will be bigger than bread and wine. Because there's a realm you go to that life will just be about beholding the glory. There's a realm you go to where authority will be about the knowledge and the mysteries that are at your disposal. There's a realm you go to that the essence of existence will be where you are standing. And so I told them in the morning, when Gabriel was speaking to Zacharias, Zacharias was looking for a son. But where Gabriel came from, they don't look for children. And so these are 2 entities talking from different dimensions. One walking from the physical plane, having needs and necessities. Another coming from a realm that is immortal. And he looked at Zacharias and he told him, "I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence." And so the realm where Gabriel is coming from, authority is tied to where you are standing. And so I'm not coming from where people are relevant because of the car they drive. I'm coming from a realm where you are standing confers authority on you. And so if you are coming from a realm that is immaterial, what will be your advantage? Meanwhile, it's important for you to understand that the material frame of reference is only a moment in eternity. Even if you live for 100 years, it's a moment. You are actually journeying to a place where time will never end. And so if God wants to help you, and is helping you through prayer, beyond physical things, of course physical things are going to be added, but beyond physical things, there are things we want to achieve through prayer that is deeper than everything that is material. And so the benefits of prayer transcend the physical things that prayer engenders. The benefit of prayer They have values rooted even in the realm Satana. And so this morning, I want to advance six of those benefits. We've touched two already, but I'll just do a brief recap before I delve further. Number one benefit of prayer is intimacy. Intimacy. A walk with God. I remember when I wanted to get married, I saw a damsel that, you know, even the most spiritual, we are men. Being a man is a body. I said, we are of the order of Elijah. We are like Paul, we don't marry until I beheld the damsel. And the moment I beheld her, my senses, everything about me that has to do with intelligence went to work. Because my goal was to woo her. I wanted to come into intimacy, to walk with this creature. Because he looked at it, I was no longer surviving on oxygen. Something suddenly became more relevant than breath. And you, if this person is not around you, you want to suffocate. What is going on? I now saw that man was created with a deficiency that makes him want to exist only through the gateway of intimacy. And so, intimacy is one of the things that gives relevance to life. But you see, the intimacy you enjoy with a physical person is nothing compared to the intimacy you enjoy with a being that is eternal. So, woman or man, depending on your gender now, actually comes to mirror something that actually has its root in the spirit. And so, when God allowed us to marry and to partner with one another, is to give us a glimpse of the experience that is available when we begin to have intercourse with the Holy Spirit. Are we together? The Bible speaking in Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, it said the Lord's portion is his people. And so what provoked and necessitated creation in the first place was the fact that God wanted to have intimacy with his people. And so when a man begins to grow in wisdom in the spirit, he begins to prioritize intimacy. And because of intimacy, prayer will become for you like bread. Because the reason we pray is not just because we want answers to problems. The reason we pray is because there is a longing and a craving within us that nothing can satisfy but the presence of God. This is why the psalmist, even though he had all the things that men would desire, he made a statement that fascinated me. In Psalm 65 verse 4, he said, blessed is the man, not the one who has a car. Blessed is the man, not the one who has position among men. He said, blessed is the man whom God chooses. Blessed is the man whom God causes to approach him. He said, that one dwells in the courts of God. Because the real blessing and heritage of humankind is the privilege that we have to come into the corridors of immortals and to interact with them in an intimacy level that cannot be defined. This kind of intimacy surpasses human comprehension. God is inviting people to him because he wants to have intimacy with them. And so the reason God left us this technology called prayer is because prayer is an access point into the realms of intimacy. When a man begins to pray, then God becomes real to him. When a man begins to pray, then the possibility of walking with God is activated. That intimacy becomes his heritage. Because when you enter into intimacy, you will discover there are benefits in intimacy that you can't buy from the market. It's not everything they sell in ShopRite. Some things are fetched in the presence of God. And so when you delve into intimacy with God, these things begin to happen. Let me mention two of them or three. Number one is authority. That's why when Gabriel was speaking, he didn't say, I'm an archangel. Because if you're an archangel and you don't stand in God's presence, you will not have authority. It will become a title that has no meaning. And so when Gabriel was speaking, he said, the reason I have powers, enough power to judge you here now, is because I stand in the presence. Because the information given to him when he was coming to Zacharias was to announce to him that your prayer has been answered. You will be with child. And Zacharias doubted him. So he went outside of the script. Because a man who stands with God wields God's authority. And he said, even though God did not tell me to punish you, because you are a priest and you have not learned faith, now, as a being of the presence, let me bring you some edicts. Because I've been within the throne room for a long time. He said, you will not speak until these things happen. How did he invoke that level of authority? Because he was an archangel. You find Christians struggling in life. We even struggle with unbelievers and compete with them on the things that should be byproduct. The reason is because we are not seeking the kingdom. Jesus said, when we seek the kingdom, what unbelievers labor for,
they will be added to us. But when we start fighting for the addition, it's because the authority that makes those things to gravitate in our direction is not there. And so when a man begins to pray, the power to rule is conferred upon him, because the presence of God is our true garment. This thing we wear is because we are falling. A day will come where we'll be clothed with light. That's what defines our essence in the spirit. The second thing that the presence of God or intimacy will do for you is favor. Because when you stay with God, he will be rubbed off on you. And you know what favor does? Favor manipulates the heart of man. The reason somebody will dash you something he can't give his brother, it's not because you are fair. And it's not because you are dark. It's neither because you are tall or short. It's actually because there's a fragrance flowing out of you that compels him to bring all he has and to pay allegiance to you. It was favor God gave the Israelites that the Bible said they spoiled the Egyptian. How can a 430-year-old slave suddenly rise up and come to his master, who was flogging him and made tormenting him an occupation? He walks up to him and says, "Give me all your gold. I need it." And the master will suddenly become foolish, dumbfounded, and give the gold, say, "Thank you, take." And he's not borrowing it, he's taking it forever. Because when favor comes, you become a commander. And the reason you command is because favor commands the allegiance of men. That thing called favor is the perfume of the presence. When you enter the presence and come out of the presence, favor goes with you. There are many technologies in the presence that empowers. But the thing is, believers are not aware that when we walk with God, it's like a school of the spirit. That's why angels crave to stay in God's presence. Because they learn the acts of creation. They learn the acts of divinity. They learn the ways of God, such as can never be taught anywhere. Because in the presence, they don't teach you from a syllabus. When you look, you become. And so the greatest advantage of the believer is his intimacy with God. And this is why prayer will become priceless to you. If you don't know what that is, you will never understand why you should pray. There are many things that happen in the presence. There's a technology called multiplication that is in the presence of God. And so when a man who stays in God's presence is thanking God, he's not singing a song he likes. He's about to create wonder. And so Jesus came. He said he was talking to 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And they were hungry and he needed to feed them. They told him, "Sir, please don't go there. This is a candid advice. Because even a year's wages can't suffice here." And Jesus said, "What do you have?" They said, "There's only a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They bring it. I'm a being of the presence." And he carried it and said, "Thank you, Father. Take, give them." Give who? Where do I start from? Is it this voice launch? You are telling me to be heartless enough to give them. Who are they them? He said, "Give them." And they started giving them. And suddenly they discovered the them was actually the bread, because the bread won't finish. How did he know that? Because in the realm of God, there are many things that the mind can't comprehend. And until a man goes there, he won't know that is a wonder. And so while you are struggling with mascara and eyelashes, also add favor. You are wondering why somebody else is excelling. Copy everything he's doing. If you don't go to the presence, the things that makes things happen, it's not just the principles he's applying. There is a validation of the spirit upon him. There is a signature that God puts on men that come to his presence as a validation that this one's traveled beyond time. And so when we begin to pray, we are embarking on a journey with a spirit. And it will be said concerning you, just as it was about Enoch, that Enoch walked with God and he was not. Because when a man begins to walk with God, that man diminishes and God increases on his inside. So the weaknesses and the weight of your mortality is swallowed up by his immortality. So when he said Enoch was not, it's not just because he took Enoch. Enoch actually was not before he was taken. Because when you met Enoch, you met God. God saturated him so much that he became an expression of God. And so all the limitations of men vanished until the man became literally like a god. And a day came, Enoch was so God that he told them, "God will take me." So when you come to Enoch, Enoch is telling you, "My days on earth are few. I'm about to travel." You say, "Where are you going to? Is it Canada?" He said, "No. Where I'm going to, they don't use plane. We translate." Prayer is the benefit, the advantage of the believer. And so when the believer is not praying, God will be far from him. God will not be real to him, even though God is in his spirit. And when God is not real to you, other things will become real. And one of those things are demons. I will stop there. Number two, prayer engenders transformation. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. The question is, what is the technology that brings you to that place where change takes place? There are two of them in scripture. One is meditation. The other is prayer. And so when a man is not transfiguring, he will call himself what his parents and the world calls him. And no matter what your parents call you, no matter how much they love you, they are deficient because they were not in the studio where you were created. The Bible said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. The only man who can give you a definition is the one who was there when you were created. And only Elohim was there. Because before you were formed in your mother's womb, you existed somewhere as an intangible seed of eternity. The womb was a gateway for you to come into time. Only the beings that were in the studio where you were coupled can tell you who you are. Else you will come into the world because you came from a family that is not privileged. They will call you poor. And you will wake up with that identity. You can go or come through a family that are drunks. And you will define yourself based on your DNA. Thank God for the 46 chromosomes and eggs. We are deeper than eggs. There is something about you that is the DNA of God. And so when you begin to pray, what happens is that your God dimension begins to open up. And so a Rahab that is called a harlot can also be a progenitor of Jesus Christ. How can you juxtapose the destiny of a harlot and the destiny of a progenitor of Christ? They are two worlds apart. But when the immortals come into the league, there is something they can do that can bridge two impossibilities. A man who was a murderer in the name of Paul, of Saul, can suddenly become the greatest apostle. How can the destiny of a murderer and an apostle come together? When the immortals come in, anything is possible. And so when we begin to pray, what prayer does is to open the ambience of heaven. It's like a router. It opens the dimensions of heaven and you begin to look into the realm where you were formed. And so you start defining yourself from your eternal perspective. Thank God for the success you record now. Please don't go to heaven like this. Because when you go to heaven, they will tell you, Abraham was rich in cattle. But the destiny of Abraham was bigger than cattle. And so when Abraham had an encounter, they said, get out of your country. Who told you they can weigh you based on cattle? You are the father of nations. You are not the owner of cattle. You are the father of nations. And so if Abraham didn't have encounter, he would have defined himself as the richest cattle rearer. What a mundane standard. What a limitation. What a truncation of the possibilities of destiny. But when the vistas of heaven open, a man who should have been known as a cattle rearer can suddenly become the father of kings. And a point will come, even Jesus will come from the bloodline of Abraham. How can destinies be so changed? Because when the invisible realm opens, you will discover that your possibility can only be equal to a dimension in God. Because when he made you in his image and in his likeness. Thank God you are able to make some money with your brain. You have an advantage beyond your brain. Come to the studio of eternity. So they looked up to him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. I told them transformation has three protocols. The first is mortification. Your flesh will be subdued. The second is renewal of mind. You will be illuminated beyond the physics you read. You read philosophy and you think it's about argument. You are bringing deep questions and creating deep answers. Life is beyond deep questions. There is a place where your soul is fortizzled. Paul said, when we pray, something happens. He said, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. This your eye is for seeing. There's another eye called the eye of understanding. It is the eye of understanding that sees the things that cannot be seen. And he said, that will not only happen. He said, you will be illuminated with light. And the things you will now see will not be the answers to a biology question. The things you will now see, the Bible said, is the hope of your calling. Is the exceeding riches that the saints possess in light. And he said, it is to make contact with the power. Not just an ordinary power. The power that rose Jesus from the dead. And so when a man begins to see, the authority to engender resurrection is credited to him. Then nothing in your hand can die. And so the business can be failing. But because your eyes have been illuminated, when you touch that dead business, the business comes back to life. Where people are seeing crisis, you begin to see opportunities. And when you create things out of it, they are wondering, what did you study? It's not what I study, it's where have you been? Ask me where I've been. I'm seeing what others can't see. There is an illumination that I have because I pray. When such things begin to happen, know that this person is going through transformation. They look at somebody, they say, this person is wayward. When you looked at him, you saw a potential. You say, give me this person. And after 4 years, that person becomes the hope of a nation. And they are asking you, why didn't you write him off? I see what you don't see. That's what transformation does. It mortifies the propensities of the flesh that will limit you, and then it illuminates you until you only see from the realm of God. And finally, it transubstantiates you. And so you become like the God that you preach. You become like the God that you talk about. That's where things no longer fail with you. If you touch it, it changes. Because everything he is, you become that thing. Because when transformation is completed, he said, as he is. Not so are we in heaven. He said, so are we in this world. And so when we gather like this, we are not church members. That is when church becomes ecclesia. Because we become representatives of dimensions. And so those who are sitting at the left, when they say, who are those? You say, those ones, they understand times and seasons. So when things are about to happen, they tell us ahead of time. That's when we become strategic. We can come to church and two brothers will walk up to pastor and say, tell them to buy gold next month. Gold. And the pastor will announce, from next month, he invests in gold and he will go. You will not know what is happening. Those are the suckers. If they tell you here, one can just stand up and say, change all your naira to dollar and he will go. And you are wondering, why? What does that mean? It's an Isaka that is talking. He has entered transformation. And when he said, change your naira to dollar, after 1 month, $1 to $400 becomes $1 to $750. You didn't do any business, but you became a millionaire because an Isaka spoke to you. He sees light. And because he sees light, he journeys beyond time. He can come and say, next week, avoid traveling. Avoid. We saw some things coming into the weather. We saw some things coming into the airspace. So just stay at home. You won't know why. Until we are transformed, we cannot be invincible. We cannot be a wonder to our world. But it will take prayer for you to go to this level of transformation. That's why Isaiah 40 verse 28 said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? He said, he giveth power to the faint, and unto them that have no might, he increases strength. And he said something that humbled me. He said, even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know what he's saying? The youths and the young men are the greatest strength of the human race. But he's telling us that our best advantage in the natural is nothing compared to God. He now said, they that wait upon the Lord, something happens to them. They go beyond natural advantages. They go beyond natural tendencies and proclivities. He said, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings like the eagles. And he said, when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. Now, if you read verse 28, the only one who runs and is not weary and walks and not faint is God himself. So what he's telling us is, when we begin to pray, we become like God. That's what transformation is. So as God walks and is not weary, as God runs and does not faint, you too begin to walk and you are not weary. You begin to run and you don't faint. Because in you is the elements of the God kind. That's why Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. But how do you activate it? You activate it when you marry the altar. So a point comes where the Christ in you will subdue you. And when men see you, it is the God in you they see. And so when they respond to you, they don't respond to you in the human order. They respond to you in the divine order. Because the God in you overshadows you. We spend too much time on our human advantages. Somebody comes bragging for 30 minutes. It's about his certificate. How do you bring paper where spirits are talking? Certificate. Do you know how many PhD holders are jobless? Thank God for that. All of us go to school and study. But we know beyond the certificate, there is a breath of the Holy Ghost that makes the difference. That's why we carry our PhD, we carry our experience from business, we take it to the altar and say, Lord, show mercy. Because if it's on the strength of certificate alone, you'll be short. Times and seasons can change. But the God that is in heaven is the I, the Lord, I change it not. There is a power that you can wield, but it's on the altar. And so a point must come where you look beyond yourself.
A guy goes to the gym, and gym with a big chest. And then he thinks because his chest is large. Well, you look good, but destiny is bigger than looking good.
He takes correct, very good fruit, and his skin is glowing.
You'll be shocked. Go and look at those wielding power. You will now know that skin is not advantage.
Some of them don't even look like that. There is something on your inside that is deeper than the natural. Take care of the physical as much as you can, because the physical is what validates the spiritual. The physical is what excuses or allows for the spiritual to happen. But the value is not the physical, it's the spiritual. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a treasure in you. The earthen vessel is not the treasure. Keep the earthen vessel well so that the treasure can find expression. But over and above the earthen vessel, the treasure must be nurtured. And so when we pray, the treasure is what we want to come out. And so when men look at you, suddenly your age no longer counts. Suddenly your gender no longer counts. Suddenly your race no longer counts. And they say, what happened? You have God's spirit. The treasure has no regard for skin color. And so a man can carry a black skin and instruct somebody with a white skin. A man can carry a female gender and instruct a male gender. The thing is, what do you carry? And how much of it have you allowed in expression? This is what transformation is about. It's not turning away from sin. That's the lowest level. It's actually becoming a God kind. Activating your God element. Allowing the divinity dimension in your inside to dominate the human dimension. Because it is your divine side that the world is looking for. Nobody wants to see your face. We have too many problems to find out the eyeglass you wore. What is the God contribution you have? And so when you discover this, you will not rest. When you discover this, you will labor on the altar until you too, a fragrance begins to come out of your spirit. It's called the second benefit of prayer. It's beyond answers to needs. When God answers your needs, you will have more needs. Needs don't finish. But when God makes you the answer, needs become a platform for manifestation. And so prayer is beyond answers to your needs. It's actually making you the answer. And so what should have been called a need becomes a platform for manifestation. This is the heritage of the saints in light. But the problem is, we are not praying. We are not praying. And so we are not being transformed. The devil can manipulate and create stones against your human dimension, not your divine dimension. And so Paul was counseling in 1 Corinthians 47 to 49. He said, as we have borne the earthly, he said, we must also bear the heavenly. And the way he said to bear the heavenly is in 2 Corinthians 5:2. He said, for this cause we groan. We groan that our earthly tabernacle may be overshadowed by our heavenly tabernacle. Paul knew that there's a technology in prayer that changes your humanity to your divine side. And so in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 29, he said, as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to blister. And so the reason Jesus walked on earth as God is not just because he had the DNA of God. The reason he walked on earth as God is because through prayer, he constantly gained transformation and transfiguration. In Mark 1:35, he said, early in the morning, he went to a solitary place. He said, there he prayed. So Jesus will not go out until he's transfigured. And so when he comes out, the demons recognize him. Christ is recognizing. A point came, Jesus began to suspend even nature. The Bible said, he went to pray and humans couldn't wait. They were in a hurry to cross to the other side because they needed to go early. He said, when they went at the third watch, he said, they saw Jesus walking on the water. Because the one who came from the mountain is not the one who went there. There are three things that happened there. Number one, how was he walking on water? Because this thing is in levels. Moses parted water. Elijah parted water. You say, this is miracle. When Jesus came, he didn't see water. He walked on the water. And then, how can he walk on water and catch up with those who are in the boat who left many hours before? That means beyond walking on water, there was a speed that was supernatural. Your friend can get a job 5 years ahead. No problem. Pray. He said the hand Elijah, and he outran the chariots of Ahab. You can outrun a king if you can pray. Even a king can be outrun. Don't you know the king has the best chariots? But a point comes where you don't need chariots. A point comes where you have to glide by the Spirit. And when Jesus entered the boat, the Bible said something. He said they were aground. The journey shortened. He was walking on water. He was gliding and speeding on water. And when he entered the boat, he added his velocity. This is why when men pray, they change things. Somebody can be going through crisis. You pray and enter. When you enter there, you come with heaven. And heaven superimposed over earth and dominates earth. Transformation is a benefit. You can't buy it from the market. You can only get it in the presence. They say pray, the devil stops you from praying. You can prepare and argue for 4 days for what comes final. But you can't go and argue your destiny in the courts of heaven. What cup comes, goes. The whole euphoria vanishes. And you are still where you are. No. We are wiser. Thank God for the momentary refreshment and refreshing. But beyond those momentary refreshing, there is something we must become. There's a weapon you have. There's a grace you carry. There's a dimension of God that is in you. When will it manifest? That's what creation is waiting for. And that's why you will not stop but pray. Number three. Or top benefit of prayer is strategic direction. A man without direction is like a blind man in a noisy world. Everything evokes fear. Imagine you were standing on the road and your eyes were blind. The cars passing will make you afraid. You will be flooded with anxiety, fear, and confusion. And so the reason you find many believers is because the noise of the world is overwhelming them. Because they don't have strategic direction. And so when a man begins to pray, God separates everything and brings clarity to him. So he knows what to do, when to do it. The Bible said it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. The only time a man is permitted to walk is when he starts receiving direction. Signals must come from heaven. I tell people, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. The only time speed becomes an advantage is when direction comes. And so many persons with great potentials are dislocated from their destinies because they don't have direction and they will never pray. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, call upon me and I will answer. And he said, when I'm done answering you, I will now bring my dimension. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. You see what that means? So you can pray and receive answer and still know nothing about your destiny. And so when God gives you an extra advantage in prayer, what he does is to give you direction in addition to what you were looking for. In Acts chapter 10 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible spoke of a great man. He was relevant in the Italian band. That was an army officer, but he didn't have direction. His eternal destiny was about to waste. But this man knew something. The Bible said he gave alms and he prayed. And he said on one occasion, as he was praying, the angel of the Lord came to him and began to discuss eternal matters. You are a general? You will general your way into hell. This is what you should do now. This is not the time to fight for promotion. Somebody is fighting, killing everybody. He wants promotion. Meanwhile, the journey to that decoration ground is your death. Instead of you to pray, so you'll be told what to do. You don't know what you need that time. You can't be intelligent enough to know. That's why you need direction. Certain persons is in the moment of their greatest celebration, they are cut off. Because what they needed at that hour was not that award. It was the direction. The award was ready, but the direction was not there. And so just between them and the award, they were cut off. Because direction is one of the most precious commodity you have in life. Knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and where to do it. Nothing matches it. And it's in prayer that you get it. As the man was praying, he said, an angel came to him and said, go send men to a man called Simon Peter. He said, he's living so place with someone called Simon the Tanner. He will come and tell you the words of this life. And while this man was yet going, Peter too was locked into tradition and rituals, religiosity, and wouldn't do that. But Peter also knew the way of prayer. And so in Acts 10, verse 9 to 20, he said, Peter also went up to pray at the sixth hour. And while he was praying, something was lowered. A sheet was lowered from heaven. And he saw all kinds of animals. And he said, rise up, kill and eat. And he said, no, I won't touch any unclean thing. There is a place where your religion, your rules, your regulation is going to be a hindrance. That's why you need direction. That's why you need direction. Because even the things that are an advantage can become a disadvantage in certain seasons of your life. And Peter insisted three times. And he said, don't call unclean that which I have made clean. The moment his eyes opened, he said, two men seek thee, go with them and do as need arises. That was how salvation came to the Gentiles. Because a man, through prayer, secured strategic direction. What would have happened if Peter didn't pray? That's the same question that people don't answer that brings all forms of ambiguity to their lives. I am beautiful. Why can't I get married? I am working hard. Why can't I have any investment or any savings? The answer to that puzzle is a clear-cut direction that only prayer produces. And until you make prayer a part of your life will be like the life of a blind man in a noisy world. Even the things which you appreciate will scare you. A blind man doesn't know the difference between two cars. A blind man doesn't even know his way. He is confused, full of anxiety and fear all the days of his life. And so the life that should be enjoyed becomes a burden to him. In fact, it depends on another to lead him. His life is at the mercy of others' generosity. That will not be your destiny. As you come to this prayer conference, one thing God will do for you is to give you strategic direction for every phase of your life. The 14th prayer does is to build power in your spirit. Power, power. You don't live through this life hoping on luck and chance. There are 7.73 billion people in the world. Even if there was luck, when will your turn come? When will your nation be in the line for luck? When will your tribe be apportioned for luck? There are over 7,000 languages in the world. Even if they were given according to tribe, it will take more than 200 years before certain tribes are caught. Then if they come to your tribe, how many are you? Luck. Nothing like luck here. We live through this life with power. That's why I said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If there's no power, there can be no salvation. See, the things of your destiny are not a gift. They are taken. The word is katalambano. You take it by power. That's why I said the kingdom of God suffered violence. The devil will insist that what is yours shouldn't come to you. And so you need to know how to square up, shoulder to shoulder. And the way to get it is by power. Even God can't help you if there's no power in your life. In Ephesians 3:20, it says God is only able to do exceeding abundantly according to the power at work on your inside. So if there's no power at work in your inside, then God will not be able to do. But what is the key to power? In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, not many days from now you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. And when the Holy Ghost came, Acts chapter 2 verse 1, he gave them the key to power. He said they began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost granted them utterance. And so when a man begins to pray in power, pray in tongues, he begins to generate power. The power is in you as a potential, but it will take prayer to stay it. Because what you use is actually not dunamis. Dunamis is the potential. What you use is called kratos. What turns dunamis to kratos is tongues. This light you are seeing does not exist. What exists is the potential in the generator. And so if the generator starts working, this light appears. If the generator stops working, the potential is still there, but the light will not be here. And so the sound, the light, everything here, even the AC that is creating this soothing ambience, is a product of the work in the generator. The potential is there, but it is the work that converts the potential to the life. This is what happens to every believer. All of us here with the Holy Ghost have more than enough power for this world. The power in you now is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. But how much of it is working? If you want that power to work, then you must go back to the labor room of prayer. And there is something you do that provokes that power. Either you are meditating and light comes to your spirit, or you begin to kabash in the spirit. In the eyes of men, it sounds foolish. The Bible said, how be it in the spirit we utter a mystery. That's why we cannot be defeated. Because we are a warehouse of power. And through prayer, we draw it out. We draw it out. We draw it out. A man who doesn't pray is helpless. You are helpless until prayer is added to your daily menu. Even Jesus prayed. He prayed and prayed earnestly because he knew the secret of power. Did you not know that for 30 years, Jesus did nothing? For 30 years. 30 years, the word of God did nothing. 30 years. Until Matthew 4, verse 1. He said, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But the man knew power. Before the devil showed up, he went on 40 days and advised himself and began to fast and pray. He began to fast and pray. When he returned in verse 14, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. How did that power suddenly appear? The power was always there, but it took prayer for him to return in that power. And he said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. The question is, what was he before prayer? I thought he was called the Son of God. I thought he was called the Creator of the world. I thought he was called the life of the world. How come that light never shined? Because it will take prayer. It's prayer that converts your potential power to your dynamic power. Else you will have a lot of potentials. Prophets will come and tell you how that they are seeing you wearing a gold crown. How that your hands are shining. How that you have a glorious future. If you don't take it to the labor room of prayer, you will never become. Because the power for destiny, it comes by prayer. Do you think Pharaoh is polite? You think Pharaoh is diplomatic? When you show up and you say you want to fulfill your destiny, he will tell you, I have a need of slaves. You can't fulfill your destiny. Because if you fulfill your destiny, I will not have slaves. Egypt will suffer. And so the way you come out of Egypt is by power. Let my people go that they may serve me. Who is your God? He's not looking for definitions. Moses threw his rod down. The rod became a snake. My God is the God of power. And when God was speaking in Exodus chapter 3 verse 20, he said, I will stretch forth my hand and I will strike Egypt with all my signs and my wonders. And then they will let Israel go. Power is the key to fulfilling your destiny. Your destiny is not gifted you. Your destiny is taken by power. He said, I've seen an abomination on the face of the earth. That princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. The status of a prince, yet the experience of a beggar. That's the tale, the unfortunate tale of many destinies. As you come into this prayer conference and as you engage the altar of prayer, everything about your destiny will be delivered to you in the name of Jesus. Let me round up here. The fifth benefit of prayer is that prayer is the womb that begs possibilities. In Isaiah 66 verse 8, it says, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. Your potentials will be dormant until you pray. Your graces will be dormant until you pray. The dimensions of God in your spirit will be dormant until you pray. Even God will not do anything about it. Because your betting is at the mercy of your prayer. As soon as Zion traveled. And so your manifestation is not tied to God. It's tied to your altar. God already released your manifestation in Christ. Your altar is what determines the timeline. If you don't go to the altar, you will hope until you will leave this world. And he said, if hope is not delivered, it maketh the heart sick. That's why many persons are frustrated. They can tell the level of greatness they have, but nothing is coming forth. It's because prayer is not there. And so when the devil wants to fight you, I can assure you, there are two areas he will fight everybody on this earth. Number one is the area of purity. Number two is in the area of prayer. There's nobody on earth the devil doesn't fight in the area of purity and in the area of prayer. Because these two things, they deliver on destiny issues. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Number six, prayer is what creates change. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, he said, whatever you believe for, he said, when you pray. That means even your faith will be dormant until you start praying. That you believe doesn't mean it will come. He said, whatever you believe for, he said, when you pray, he said, do not doubt, and you will have whatsoever you believe. And so it is not only faith that produces result, it is faith that is garnished with prayer that produces results. That's why many people read books, talk bogus things, they have no results. Very lofty and unreal things. So much so that you look at them, even their lives become a lie. Because if it is not with prayer and faith, it's a lie. It's false hope. You come and speak Queen's English. That's good. We thank God for that excellence. We thank God for your phonetics. But spirits don't speak English. Spirits speak spirit and life, or they speak spirit and death. And it is prayer that will convert your language to life. And the matters of your destiny are sensitive to life, not to English language. Learn all the English, build all the excellence. When Pastor was speaking, I was wishing I would become like him. Or maybe live with him for 2 months and upgrade my phonetics. But even Pastor knows that this crowd won't come here because he's speaking English. There's an altar that powers everything happening here. An altar. Because the English gets to your brain, the life gets to your spirit. And it is your spirit that controls you. I pray for somebody today. That weight that makes it difficult for you to pray is broken in the name of Jesus. I decree over you now the hunger to pray and to pray in perpetuity. Receive it now. And as you pray, your prayer will not be barren. As you pray, you will have direction. As you pray, power will be built up. As you pray, you will create changes. As you pray, your walk with God will be enhanced. In the name of Jesus. In James chapter 4 verse 16, it says Elijah is a man subject to like passion as we are. There was nothing special about Elijah. He said he was like every one of us. He said, but the difference is this. He said he prayed earnestly. And so you are looking for the special thing about Elijah's life. It's called earnest prayer. And he said he prayed that it shouldn't rain. And it rained not on the face of the earth for a period of 3.5 years. And he said he prayed again and the heavens brought rain. And he now told us something. It is not a prerogative of Elijah. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth God. Who is a righteous man? A righteous man is one who believes in Jesus and calls him Lord. Because the moment you believe in Jesus and call him Lord, righteousness is credited to you. Because in Romans 5, 1 and 17, it said, having believed, being freely justified by faith, we have peace with God. And in verse 17, it said, they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Everyone born again is a righteous man. And so if you will pray, you will command the results that Elijah commanded. I decree over you now
the signs and wonders section of your life is activated now. The dimension of you that is characterized by glory is activated now. Every success you have built by human capacity between now and the end of the year, because prayer will be added, you will beat your record 1,000 times. You will surpass your record 1,000 times. In the name of Jesus. The least among you will become a great nation. And your best will become your worst. Because the realm God is taking you to, only God will qualify it. I say that is established. I decree it is established. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We are just taking off. There is a realm we will get to. This morning we don't have the time. But before this week is over, only glory will be ascribed to you. He said as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment began to glitter. The glory that will come upon your life, even your enemies will not deny it. So let it be written. And so let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated in God's presence. Very quickly, glory to God. Very quickly this morning, listen, I don't have time to minister in the spirit. But some of you, as you walk out of the church, 3 things will happen. Number one, some of you will pray in tongues until it's nightfall today. Because something has been stirred in your spirit. And you will just find yourself tonguing until you go to bed, and sleeping will be a challenge this night. Because God is about to shift you from where you were to where you ought to be. And listen to this. Some of you, favor, literal favor will come upon you. Issues you trusted God for many years, some of you, this week, they will be answered. This week. We know when change takes place by the Spirit. In all humility, I was teaching a woman who applied for a Canadian visa for 1 year. Under that atmosphere, the Holy Ghost decreed that it is granted. That week, in 48 hours, somebody that was not contacted for 1 year, in 48 hours, she was called, visa granted. As I'm talking to you now, if this video is replayed, you'll be watching from Canada. Everything that you have trusted God for, before this week is over, you will receive it in the name of Jesus. And for some of you, the hunger for God that will be awoken in your spirit, you will literally be obsessed for God. Because a new phase of your life is about to unfold. The glory realm and the glory dimension of your existence is about to open up. You will see it and your mouth will testify of it. It will be said concerning you, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream dreams, and our mouth was filled with laughter. So let it be written, and so let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Listen, you may be seated. We are out of time. But hear me. Everything I've shared this morning, like I rounded up, is for the righteous. If you have not received Jesus, you may be praying, but only God knows who you are praying to. These things I spoke about, they are only obtainable in the Holy Ghost. And so until you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and listen, I'm not just saying you are part of a Christian movement, or you were born in church, or your father is a pastor. When we talk about the Lordship of Jesus, it's a personal thing. Your father can't do it for you. A congregation can't represent you here. You have to open your mouth and decree that from today, Jesus is my master. I live only for him. That is the call that this conference is about. And that's why it's called a fresh start. Especially for those who live for themselves and have lived carelessly. There is a calling. Because the body of Christ is about to enter a new phase. Even the world is about to be reset. Those who have understanding know. The world is about to be reset. You can't afford to live now without Jesus ordering your steps and ruling over your existence. And so if you are here this morning and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Master, in the next 2 minutes, I want you to put your hand on your chest very quickly. It's personal. See, eternal things are personal. All of us are breathing here. We have more than enough oxygen. If one person dies, there is no amount of oxygen all of us can donate and sustain him. Everybody breathes for himself. That's how life is. It's a personal thing. And so this morning, you've exhaled yourself. And you are telling yourself the truth. I've come to church. I've lived in church. But Jesus, I don't know you. And you've never been my Lord. I want you to take control, rulership and ownership of my life from this day. Place your hand on your chest. If your hand is on your chest, can you just wave? So I'm sure somebody is praying. Come on. Give the Lord a big hand. Lift that hand properly. Lift that hand properly. I'm sure ushers will be issuing slips to you right now. Just lift that hand, because we don't just want to lead you to Christ. We also want to disciple you so you'll come into the fullness of your destiny. Your hands are lifted. You have to pray this prayer with me, believing from your heart. The Bible said in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you believe? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe He died for your sins, and you believe He rose from the dead for your justification. If you believe this, you will now call Him Lord. Then you are saved. If you want to pray that prayer, believing what I just said, place your hands on your chest and pray with me. It's just a sign of surrender. It's not a ritual. Say, dear Heavenly Father, you have to say it with your mouth if you can speak. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe with all my heart that He died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that on the third day He rose again from the dead. This morning, I confess with my mouth that Jesus, the Son of the living God, is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Just keep your hands lifted. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree concerning these ones, they are kept and they are preserved. These ones will flourish in your courts forever and ever. The yoke of sin is broken. The oppressions of darkness is broken. And today they come into perfect liberty. Lord, these ones are established and they live their lives to the full. So let it be written and so let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand.